think that one of the reasons why I agreed to come here and speak is because I am also inspired. When you have the kotel right there, you're in the very heart of the great celebration of Yerushalayim becoming the property of Klal Yisrael after 2,000 years. The day is so historic, it is so meaningful, it has such great power in it, and we have to spend the time in order to feel, recognize, be aware. I like to start with my favorite Yom Yerushalayim story, because I think that the story took place somewhere near here. Sometimes I feel bad, you know. You weren't born 40 years ago. You weren't around 50 years ago. May of 1967, fear gripped the entire Jewish world. Arab countries were saber-rattling. Preparations were made for war. There was fear, God forbid, for Churban Bayit Shlishi. It was global. Global Jews. Nobody else cared. We cared. Still a young country at the time. And then, of course, came the Six-Day War that... The first day, I remember the first day, and the second day, we heard reports that the refineries in Haifa are burning, Tel Aviv is being bombed. Oy! And then by the third day, things just didn't sound right. Didn't hear any more about Haifa burning and Tel Aviv being bombed. And by the third day already, things had changed so dramatically when the news comes across the world that Yerushalayim, the greatest prize in history, falls into the hand of Klal Yisrael. That was a very, very great day. That's a very great day. That was an outpouring of Chasdei Hashem. The Shari Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah says in Shara Shlishi Yud Zayin, he says that it's a mitzvah min haTorah lidbonein, to ponder about, think, meditate about Chasdei Hashem. You have to try and understand what it is that the Rabbeinu Yonah wanted to give us. Something that the whole world wants to take from us right now, as we speak. They've never made peace with the idea that all of Yerushalayim is going to be in the hands of Klal Yisrael. Can't make peace with it. They will try whatever they can in order to remove parts of Yerushalayim. And here it fell into our hands during the course of that amazing, unbelievable 6 days in 1967. A world was overwhelmed with a sense of this Jewish victory. They couldn't help it. I learned here in Yeshiva in 1955 and 1956. I don't know why today I thought about it. You know, you don't have to admit to me, but you know the Manila Mall? You know the mall? All those beautiful stores? You know what I'm talking about? Well, somebody raise his hand and say, you know what I'm talking about? You know the Manila Mall? All right. In 1955, the Manila Mall was one big concrete wall separating two sides of the city. The top of the wall had ugly barbed wire over it. The city was divided in half. A wall went through it like a knife into the heart of Klal Yisrael. During those 19 years, between 1948 and 1967, there was an ugly equation in the world. There were two cities on the face of this world that were divided in half. I can't even say them in the same breath. Yerushalayim HaKodesh and Berlin. The Mekor HaRishus in this world. On Chof Chasiyah 1967, that equation came to an end. The walls came down. Yerushalayim became one. That was a very, very great day. But not everybody can appreciate it. My favorite story of the Six-Day War, it appears in a book, The Battle for Jerusalem, by Abraham Rabinovich, who was a reporter for the Jerusalem Post. And he describes the battle. He describes early morning, Wednesday morning, Chof Ches Iyar in the morning. I always have my own imagination. I have a very vivid imagination. I see all sorts of things. And I imagine that during the course of the night preceding Yom Yerushalayim, there was a tremendous amount of tension in heaven. I think Malachim were popping Valiums. They were nervous. They were fluttering around. They knew that something great is about to happen, and they're worried that everything should go well. Comes the morning, you understand, it's a beautiful, bright, sunny, cloudless day, and Israeli paratroopers break into the city. Last night I happened to hear one of those paratroopers describe making their way into the city. Hanan Porat, you should have a refuah shleima. He was one of the awardees of Pras Moskowitz last night, and he spoke so passionately about the breaking into the city, coming into the city. Now the story that Rabinowitz says, here it is, Israeli troops are rushing through the little streets, the alleyways of Yerushalayim. This whole area was built up. There was no plaza as you see now. And here it is, young Israeli soldiers, they want to get to the Kotel and Har HaBayit, but they don't know where it is. They've never been in the city before. And as they're rushing through the streets of this little town, they see a young man in a doorway. He's trembling, he's frightened. They approach him, and they tell him, "We won't hurt you. Just tell us, how do we get to the wall and to the Temple Mount?" He stands there, and he points the way for them. There. They immediately hurry off, and he remains standing in that doorway, and he sees Israeli soldiers making their way up to the top of the Har HaBayit. He sees the Israeli flag going up on the Temple Mount. The end of the story. Abraham Rabinowitz tells us, who was this young man standing in the alleyway? His name was Mahmoud Daoud Schleifer. Mahmoud Daoud Schleifer was a New York-born Jew. He was probably called Mark David or Mordechai David. He converted to Islam, married a Jordanian girl, and he was working for a newspaper in the old city. And the last sentence of the story tells it all. What a strange witness to the greatest moment in Jewish history. Mahmoud Daoud is watching one of the greatest moments in all of Jewish history. But he don't get it. He doesn't understand what he's seeing. He has no way of appreciating. He is so distant from Yahdut, from Jewish history, from Jewish feeling. He has rejected Yahdut. He's incapable of appreciating what he has just witnessed. You know what haunts me about that story? Do you know how many good, fine Jews B'nai Torah, Balabatim. Unbelievable. They're Mahmud Dawood Schleifers. You don't have to convert to Islam in order to see a blank. They don't get the significance of the day. You can be a Geiser Talmud Chochem, and if the day to you is a day like any other day, then you are completely out of it. You don't get it. The big mitzvah of our time, which are the most historic years in 2,000 years, the most historic of all, you know what the mitzvah is? Yidbonenu Chasdei Hashem. That's what the Shaarei Teshuva says. We have to know, feel, appreciate, sense what great chasadim HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pouring out to us. But to walk around on Yom Yerushalayim like, no, wow. There are a lot of things that have to be appreciated, and you can't take them for granted. You can't take God's greatness and kindness, you can't take it for granted. I made it my task some years ago, not many, to teach people about an unknown Rashi. You think everybody knows Chumash and Rashi? Oh, I'm going to tell you Chumash and Rashi. And of all the fascinating things, a month or two ago, I get a call from a great Talmud Chacham, Rav Gold, a fellow told Pasuk. Where's that Pasuk in Chumash that you told us about? I had spoken someplace. It's the end of Parshas Bo. V'hoya ki yivi acho. It's one of the four parshas of Tefillin. V'hoya ki yivi acho Hashem el eretz haknani kasher nishba lecha v'lavotecha. The Rebbein Shmuel will bring you to the land of the Knani as he swore to you and to your fathers. Unetana lach. And he will give her to you. Those two words, unetanalach, are just dangling participles at the end of the pasuk. Rashi realizes you have to say pshat in those words, unetanalach. Says the Heilige Rashi, Tehei beinecho ki'ilu nitna lecho bo bayom. Every day of your life you should look at Eretz Yisrael as though it was given to you today. Don't look at Eretz Yisrael like it's something that you received from your fathers. You got it today. Every day is Yom HaTzmaut. How many people know that Rashi? I bet you that everybody knows two Rashis in Dvarim where Rashi says about Torah, B'chol Yom Yiyu Beinecho Kechadoshim. But that Eretz Yisrael should be something that you look upon every day like you got it today. I'm taking this Rashi and I'm extending it to Yerushalayim. What an awesome gift. What an awesome gift. And we're zeichet to live in the generation of that gift. And that gift came with such miracles. It's unbelievable. You know, Israel's ambassador to America? Who's Israel's ambassador to America? Michael Oren. Michael Oren wrote a history of the Six-Day War. If you have a chance, you should get your hands on that book. I mean, Michael Oren, you know, is a good guy, very good guy. But he writes a number of things. It's just part of his reporting of what took place. The great first morning. It took a few days until the news began to trickle out that in the first 3 hours of war, the entire Egyptian air force was destroyed, most of it on the ground. I mean, that was it. From that moment on and further, there was nothing to talk about. The Israeli air force ruled the skies. And of course, they were still talking about we're bombing this and we're bombing that. And poor Hussein over there on the other side, he believed all the nonsense that he was being told. So he attacked. Worst mistake that he ever made. I'm talking about Hussein, not Barack Obama Hussein. I'm talking about King Hussein, who was the father of King Abdullah today of Jordan. He attacked, started shelling the city. But what happened on that first morning? He just reports it. It's, you know, it blows the mind when you read it. 8 o'clock in the morning, 300 Israeli planes are flying straight toward Egypt. Now, big chances are being taken. Somebody's going to pick them up on their radar screens. And you know what happens? The Jordanians, who've joined the battle against Israel, they pick it up on their radar screens. And they frantically send the message to the Egyptians, the Israeli Air Force is coming. They get no response, no reply. They send the message again, Nachamu, back, forth. No response, no response. What happened? Very simple, very simple. Every day they changed the codes through which they sent messages to one another. The day before, they had changed the code, but they forgot to tell the Jordanians. The Jordanians are on some other code. The Egyptians don't understand what they're telling them. And you know what? Here it is. The way is clear. But that's not the whole story of that morning. The commander-in-chief of the Egyptian forces that were in the Sinai, the night before, he had sent instructions that from 8 to 9 in the morning over Sinai, he's going to be flying to check on all of the camps throughout Sinai. Nobody is to shoot. It's his plane. The Israeli Air Force didn't know, but between 8 and 9, precisely the hour that nobody is to shoot because some commander-in-chief of the Egyptian forces is flying through. And there it is, precisely at that time, they make their way, unharmed, untouched, straight into Egypt to destroy the Egyptian Air Force. This is coincidence? Good luck. Good luck. Or is this mamish hashgacha pratis of the highest order min hashamayim? The Rabbeinu Shel Olam was waging war for Klal Yisrael. And therefore whatever happened during that war was all the work of HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo u'be'atzmo, with great joy. By 10 o'clock in the morning, the angels' wings had stopped fluttering. They started smiling. They began to get the picture themselves. They were overwhelmed at what was taking place over here. I'll give you another one of my daydreams. This one, I don't know, I think the place I last said it about was near the Gesher HaMeitarim. You know what the Gesher HaMeitarim is? They don't get it. They don't get it. Well, what's that funny looking bridge when you come into Yerushalayim? What do they call it, huh? Say, look, drawbridge?
David's Harp.
Harp? George Washington? Verrazano? You know that big thing standing up over there? Well, it was late afternoon, right around now, maybe about an hour from now, I'm standing near that bridge, and sort of there's, you know, dusk is settling. It's can't see too well. Smoke. Out of the smoke comes a figure and approaches me. He says, Shalom Aleichem. I say, Shalom Aleichem to him too. And who are you? So he says, my name is Moshe Ben Nachman. Some people called me, my nickname was the Ramban. Oh, Shalom Aleichem Ramban. Where am I? So I told him, you're in Yerushalayim. He said, come on, please. I mean, I'm an alter yid. Don't play games with me. I tell him, yeah, it's Yerushalayim Eretz Kodesh. He says, I can't believe it. I came to Yerushalayim in 1267, and there were a total of 2 Jews living in the city. Then he asked me, who is it? The Tatars are here? The Crusaders? Who's running this country? I tell him, Kudmesha, you know who it is? The Yidden, Klal Yisrael. There's a Yiddish Medina, the Ramban was beside himself with joy. And then we're joined by others. We're joined by Rav Avadim Bar Tanura, comes in 1488 to Yerushalayim. There are already now 200 Jews in the city of Yerushalayim, the great metropolis, 200 Jews. One house in Har Nof. 1700, Rav Yehuda HaChassid comes to Yerushalayim. There are already 5,000 Jews in the city of Yerushalayim. I'm going to go fast forward now. In 1955, gold comes to Yerushalayim. You know what? There are 146,000 Jews in the city of Yerushalayim. And then we're joined by another figure that comes and approaches us. This is a saintly, holy figure of all. And all of us were all standing there, the Ramban, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, the Bar Tanura, we've been joined by others. And he says, I'm Akiva ben Yosef. Rabbi Akiva, you could feel the thrill, the Kedusha standing in the presence of Rabbi Akiva. What's going on over here? So we tell him, Rabbi Akiva, we're in Yerushalayim. Ah, come on. We are the Shualim. We're the foxes of Yerushalayim. No more foxes. Who are all these people? Jews. Jews? Where are the Romans? Ha! Romans, we tell them? Long gone. Nations keep coming. Nations keep going. Passing like shadows, wiped off the earth. Egypt enslaved thee. Babylon crushed thee. Rome led thee captive. Homeless thy head. Where are those nations, mighty and fearsome? Thou hast survived them. They are long dead. We tell him, how'd you like that? Was that good, huh? You got it? Beautiful poem. I said it at my elementary school graduation from Torah Vidas about 150 years ago. and it was a contest. The guy who was up against me read Casey at the Bat. Now I asked you, who stands a better chance of winning, you know? Me or Casey at the Bat? So I tell Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, there are 500,000 Jews in this city. He's beside himself with joy, overwhelmed. And then I told him something else. A few years ago, 2-3 years ago, I was living up in the Galil. And up in the Galil, so we were not about 20 minutes from Miron. Everybody was making their way to Miron. And gold says, I'm not going to Miron. Why should I go to the Talmud, Reb Shimon ben Yochai? I'm going to go to Tveria, to the great Rebbe, Rebbe Akiva, who's buried in Tveria. Buried right next to the Ramchal, Sils Yisharim. When I come to the caver of Rebbe Akiva, by the way, there wasn't much traffic getting to Rabbi Akiva. It would have taken me hours to get to Miron. I get to Rabbi Akiva's caver, so I want to tell you something. I didn't say a tefillah there. But here was great Hashgacha Pratis. Right near the caver there was a Tanakh. You know what I did? I opened up a Tanakh. I opened it up to Zechariah. I opened it up to Perek Ches in Zechariah. How many of you have learned Masechta Makkos? How many of you made a siyum on Masechta Makkos? You didn't make it for your bar mitzvah. You have to learn the end of Masechta Makkos. The Gemara over there says, Shuv Tam Achas. Chachma Yisrael were coming from Har Hatzofim, and they were coming toward Yerushalayim, and they saw Shu'ol Yotze Nibes Kodesh HaKadoshim. They saw a fox coming out of the Holy of Holies. So they began to cry, and Rabbi Akiva smiled. So they asked him, why are you smiling? So he asked them, why are you crying? So they say the place that the Kohen Gadol went in once a year, and Yom Kippur, the Holy of Holies, now Shu'olim Hilchuba, faxes are going through. I shouldn't cry. So he said, that's why I'm smiling. Because if the Nevuah of Churban was fulfilled so precisely, then I am absolutely certain that the Nevuah of Zechariah, oh, the Yeshu, Zekanim, Uzekanos, the elderly are going to sit in the streets of Yerushalayim, Ish, Sh'amto b'yado me'rov yamin, and Yeladim v'yelados m'sachakim b'rechavotah, young children, playing in the streets. Do you know what we see before our very eyes? We see the fulfillment of the Nevuah of Zechariah in a way that Rabbi Akiva saw in his mind, and we're zeichet to see it in fact. It's the fulfillment of the Nevuah. So when I was standing there by his kever, I read that chapter in Zechariah, and then I said something else to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, if I'd have a can of spray paint, I would go through this whole country painting Rabbi Akiva Tzadak. Rabbi Akiva was right. You are right on, Rabbi Akiva. And we see it before our very eyes. It's unbelievable. You know, people get all excited about... it depends, like, where you fit into the multi-levered Jewish world in which we live. I mean, there are people who can get very upset, you know, with the tefillah, the Shlom HaMedina, Reishis Tzmichas Gvul Aseinu, Reishis Smucha. I don't get upset. I love it. And then there are those who say that, well, it's the Sofar Golos. It's the end of the Golos. Those who say you can hear Ikvisa de Mashiach, the footsteps of the Mashiach. There are those who say it's Aschalta de Gula. Boy, it's the beginning of redemption. There are those who say it's the worst Golos we've ever lived in. We're funny people. We're very funny people. We have everything. I call this period of time in which we live the Tekufa, the epic, the era of Kiyum Divrei HaNeviim, where the words of the Neviim are being fulfilled before our very eyes. It's unbelievable. I had an altercation with a writer in a certain magazine, a very popular magazine, who had written about the fact that there are problems with Emuna in the Orthodox community. And therefore he begins a process of training the Orthodox Jewish community, and even B'nai Torah. He reports about a conversation that he had with a Kolo fellow. And he has to start teaching them Emuna. What's going on over here? Emuna? So he begins by explaining to him, I'm at Har Sinai. I read this article and I don't know what to do with myself. So I sit down and I write 4 or 5 pages. I'm just mad. You know, I get it all out of my kishkes. But he lives on my block. And I wrote the article, lives on my block. And we usually meet at the Makolet. The next morning, I meet him at the Makolet. But I wait till we go outside because I'm afraid, you know, in the Makolet, it's a lot of people there, who knows what kind of an explosion will take place. And I'm very able, I'm very soft-spoken. And I tell him, that writer, I don't understand what you're talking about. In today's day and age, you have to teach a Ben Torah about Maimed Har Sinai? Why don't you simply follow in the footsteps of Yeshayahu? You're living in Yerushalayim, for heaven's sake, Se'i Saviveinayich. Lift up your eyes and look around, Yeshayahu says. Kulam Nikbitzu Boloch. They've all gathered here. They've come to you from the north, from the south. It's unbelievable what's going on over here. There's a kibbutz goyis unmatched and unparalleled in all of history. How many hundreds of psukim in the Nevi'im are being fulfilled in the process? It's not only Divrei Nevi'im, Torah. Who doesn't know the pasuk? ושב השם אלוקך את שבותך ורחמך ושב וקיבצך מכל העמים אשר הפיצך השם אלוקך שמה אם יהיה נידחך בקצה השמיים משום יקבצך משום יקחך. The Lord has promised, I'm going to bring you back. That's exactly what he's been doing. And then of course I said the dirty word. He made it all possible with the establishment of Medina Yisrael. Atom bomb on the street. Oh, Medina! Medina! Guy's going crazy. It's unbelievable. They tell me, the next day I found out that people were came running to their windows on Rehov Agassi and Harnof looking out. A friend of mine says, my wife came running in and says, come, you gotta come right out. And he looks down, he sees this fella yelling at me like, who knows what I said? The guy's off the wall. He doesn't get it. Wherever you look in this country, if you have eyes, if you're not a Mark David Schleifer, you see the Rebbeinu Shel here every step of the way. Hundreds of Pesukim in Tanakh are fulfilled before our very eyes. We're zeichet to see it. And these guys can walk around like nothing happened. Not only that, they'll walk around on Yom Yerushalayim and Yom Ha'atzmaut like their noses down to the ground. Worst thing that ever happened. What a terrible place it is over here. It's unbelievable. The greatest absurdity of all, this guy yelled at me, I have no idea. Oh. I tried to stop him at one point, and I said, you know, he's yelling at me, Ben-Gurion, Herzl, Ben-Gurion. So I tell him, you know, I thought the Rebbeinu Shlomo gave us Eretz Yisrael. Oh, that gets him even worse. And then at that point already, I wanted to get him upset. Tell him, you have to admit, Herzl certainly had vision. He saw what we didn't see. Got to give him credit for that. How many more people saw that? So here I aggravated him even more. Rav Kook wrote an awesome letter in 1905. That letter, if you can get your hands on the letter, it is not only poetry, but it's a clear look at things. He says to the Jews of Europe, Bo'u, Chabosai, Bo'u, Eretz Yisrael, Bo'u. Come home. He describes what's going to happen in Europe. It was after the Kishinev pogroms, and he says it's going to get worse. Jews are going to suffer here. Get out. Come home. Every time I read it, I'm overwhelmed by the ability to see clearly. He certainly was not a Mark David Schleifer. That's for sure. So here we are. Yes, I do call it the period of Kiyum Diveh Anevi'im. Kiyum Diveh Anevi'im. Then I'm going to say one thing that I never ever said before. I'll tell you the truth, nobody would ever believe it. That's why I didn't say it. I came here in 1959. And on the plane, I was sitting with a Rosh Shiva of a great yeshiva, Big Talmud Chacham. And as Jews are wont to do, you know, Medina, this, that. I said, listen, leave me alone, but at least Yom Yerushalayim? What? Yom Yerushalayim? Let's go. It's nothing to him. So I said, you know, that doesn't make sense. So I said, you know, I know a Jew, a good Jew in Yerushalayim. Maybe you never heard of him. His name is Yosef Sholem Elyashiv. There's good reason why I knew him. I got to know him when I was learning here in Yeshiva in 1956, 55 and 56. If you'll be good, maybe someday I'll tell you what it was that transpired between the two of us, me and Rabbi Yashiv, two of us, you understand? So I said, listen, let's go see this Jew. All right. So he said, yeah, I'm going. So I took this big Rosh Shiva to Rabbi Yashiv, and we sat down there. I felt a little embarrassed for my friend that he's going to start telling me, well, you young Yerushalayim, it's nothing, it's Tzionish, it's this. That's exactly what he told him. And I told him that I see this as the great gift that the Rebbeinu gave Klal Yisrael. We rest our cases, and Rabbi Yashiv turns to this big Rosh Shiva, great Talmud Chacham, and he says, what are you know. You were in America the last 19 years. I was looking out of my window toward the Kaisel, toward Altstadt, longing and yearning for the day that I'd be able to go back. Do you know what kind of a simcha it is for me? You don't have a clue. If I'm to interpret Rav Yashiv's words, he's saying, you're a Mark David Schleifer, baby. That's what you are. Rashida, you're a Mark David Schleifer. Now, I tell you, anybody out there in the world out there, here we're safe. I think I'm safe over here. In the world out there, they won't believe a word of what I just said. Fellas, I'm in a Beis Medrash, a Sifrei Torah here. I don't make up stories. Some stories I can embellish, I can make it, you know, to describe to you what Rabbi Akiva looked like by the bridge, but this is exactly what Rav Eliashiv said. We have a chiyuv to be midbonein b'chazdei Hashem. I'm going to go one step further. And here I may get a little rough. Hallel seems to be full of so many contradictions. There are two distinct, separate, diametrically opposed moods in Hallel. Oy, b'tochechi Yerushalayim halleluka. Oy, hoidul Hashem ki toiv ki lelom chazdoi. And then min hameitzah korosiko onon ibamer chavyo. Min HaMeitzer is talking about a person who finds himself in terrible dire straits and turns to the Rebbeinu and begs for Yeshua. The other part of Hallel is talking about pray. Do you know where it comes, where it reaches its peak? The two moons of Hallel. Zayom, also Hashem. Nagila v'nismach habo, this is the great day. Nagila v'nismach habo. The moon switches from the great joy about the day to turning heavenward and saying, we need a Yeshua. There are a number of very important ideas over here. And that is, number one, whenever something great happens, we always need the Rabbeinu Shem's Yeshua. Because one doesn't know what the next day will bring. Oh, is there a whole world that wants to tear it away from us? You may not have noticed, but when Obama said it's going to be according to the 67 lines, do you know where we are sitting right now according to the 67 lines? We're in Jordan, you understand. They're going to move Nativ Aryeh, who knows where, the Horei Choshech. He's going to take the Kotel away from us. He didn't get it when he said that. But you know what else I believe is being said here? Do you know who can turn to the Rebbeinu Shalom and say, Ono Hashem Oshiono, Rebbeinu Shalom, help me? You know who? The one who in the fullness of his Jewish personality can stand up before the Rebbeinu Shalom and say, Zeh Hayom, Oso Hashem, Nogilo V'nismach Abay. If you thank him for the Nisim and the Flois, he's ready to listen to you when you plead with him. But if you don't thank him, no, no matzmutas, no, no, no. We're not going to talk about that. No, no, no. If you can't say Zayom Asa Hashem Nagil V'Nismach Habo, don't bother me. Don't give me your own Hashem Oshiona. I'm not ready to listen to you. There's a deal over here. We have to be able to see what's happening. And we have been zeiched to so much in our generation, it's unbelievable. My Zayda wouldn't believe that he has great, great grandchildren, every one of them born in Eretz Yisrael, and nearly every one of them speaks English with such an Israeli accent I can hardly understand what they're talking about. And I love every one of them. I could never have written the script of my own life. Pick myself up from a great place like West Hempstead. Anybody here from West Hempstead? Hey. Okay, we'll have to talk to you. That was a very beautiful community. Especially this time of year. West Hempstead in the spring. Oh, God. It's so beautiful. I'm afraid to say, Harnof, summer, spring, winter, it's all great. It's all great. My Zayda could never have imagined. My Zayda was one of those who prayed for Yerushalayim, prayed that we should get Eretz Yisrael. He died just a few months after the establishment of the State of Israel. Oy! What 1900 years of Jews would do to be here, here, now, today. It's unbelievable. We are the beneficiaries and the recipients of the Rebbein Shem's awesome outpouring of chesed. My Rebbein in America was Rav Avrom HaKoyen Palm. He was a tzaddik of the highest order. And I'm just going to give you the last sentence of a major shiur that he gave. The crux of the shiur was that after every period of Jewish suffering, the Rebbein Shalom, like a father, what does a father do after a child has suffered, after he has chastised the child? He embraces him in order to rebuild the relationship all over again. Rav Palm said there were a number of periods in history where Klal Yisrael had suffered terribly, and after the suffering came the outpouring of the Rebbein Shem's chesed, because he wanted to rebuild his relationship. The fourth and last period that he talked about was the Shoah, followed by the establishment of the State of Israel. The establishment of the State of Israel was the outpouring of the Rebbein Shem's chesed, rebuilding, attempting to embrace Klal Yisrael all over again. And we are the ones who, the fruits of that great outpouring of chesed. And he keeps doing it. He hasn't stopped at all. As long as there's a world out there against us, he's on our side. He is on our side. The miracle of this State of Israel is awesome. But you need to do two things. I'm going to give you homework. I think you should do this homework for the rest of your life. And the point of the homework is never to be what? A Mark David Schleifer. And you need to do two things. You have to learn Tanakh, and you have to learn Jewish history. At least Jewish history of the last 100 years, a history unlike any of any other people on the face of this earth. Jewish history of the last 100 years. Jewish history of the last 50 years. And Tanakh. Maybe start off with chapter Mem in Yeshayahu, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, until the end of Yeshayahu. At the end of Perek 55, Yeshayahu says about Yerushalayim, Lo Yishoma Ba'od Za'aka, that in this city there shall never again be heard the cry, the siren. We lived through periods here when you heard a siren in Yerushalayim, you stopped whatever you were doing. If you heard an ambulance going, and when you heard a second ambulance, you knew that it's bad. You knew that it's bad. We lived through all of those years, and I am certain that Rebbein Shem has a great deal more in store for us. We should be zeicher to all of that. He's going to pour it out. All that he wants of us is recognize it, see it, thank him, say, with kavana gedola, zehayom, osa Hashem, nagila, v'nismachovo, chag sameach.